Chris Raby from St. Louis Blues Radio. Chris, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Excellent. Chris, I guess let's start with Hutton in goal tonight. I know he hasn't started since December 30. Did get some relief appearance recently. Only faced two shots, of course, in the 8 minutes that he played. But you look at the Blues' goaltending numbers overall, and they're not going to be happy with it. So is it the goalies or is it the team defense? Is it a combination? What is it?
Well, I think you can say that maybe you're not happy with the numbers compared to the last couple of years, but they're winning games. And Jake Allen has been winning a lot of games. I think the numbers come from maybe a couple of lopsided efforts. It was weird because, like, the other night, Saturday, against Chicago, a game where 9 goals are scored and then it ends up being 6-4 after an empty net goal by the Blackhawks, you know, I had multiple guys tell me that felt like a 0-0 game, and it didn't feel like there were 9 goals being scored. I thought both Allen and Scott Darling were very, very good. There have been times this year when they haven't helped themselves defensively, but, you know, there was also a time at the beginning of the season when they weren't scoring goals, and their goaltenders and their defensive effort was the only reason that they were in games. Carter Hutton's first start of the year was here in St. Louis against the New York Rangers. Again, the Blues won 3-2. Blues didn't have a shot on goal in the third period. So it's been kind of a tale of two teams. We've seen them look very, very good, you know, in all phases of their game, especially here at home. And we've also seen them look very, very shaky, including on the road. And a prime example of that was, you know, what happened in the third period in Nashville. You surrender a 3-goal lead and end up losing that game. What happened at times in the third period against Chicago, albeit, you know, Chicago scored the go-ahead goal after a 4-on-4 and then after the Blues killed off a 4-on-3 power play. So, you know, not to cop out of the question, but, you know, I think they've been fairly happy. They've talked about Jake Allen adapting to becoming the number one goaltender. It's just kind of the story of this team that at times this year it's been a little Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, it's interesting. You look at the Blues, they're giving up more goals than they have in previous years, but they're also scoring more goals. Vladimir Tarasenko, one of the main reasons of that, second in the NHL in goals with 37. Have they, and this might sound like a strange question because it's Ken Hitchcock team, but are they playing a little bit more offensively this year? Is that why we've seen the goals for up and the goals against up as well?
Yeah, they are, and there hasn't really been much secret to that. They talked last year, especially when the decisions were made to part ways David Backes and Troy Brouwer. They said they wanted to get faster. They wanted to get more up and down. They wanted to get a little bit more wide open. And again, while they've had lapses at times, especially early in the year, and it was kind of easy to point to, well, maybe they don't have anyone to get in front of the net to get to some of the tough areas and score goals, they've had a lot of firepower. And we've seen it recently. They do need more from their top guys. And there have been stretches where it's been one or two guys carrying the load, whether it's Tarasenko recently or Schwartz and Fabry before that. So they need more for everyone. But, you know, they've been vocal about the fact that they're a team that's transitioned, both kind of on the ice and how they play, and both in the dressing room, obviously with a new captain and with some new voices in the leadership group. So, again, we're kind of getting to the point of the season where you can't really hang your hat on that anymore. You need to be able to play the way you say you're going to set out to play, and we've seen it in flashes. I think they'll continue to get better. I think we'll continue to see more of that, but they've got some firepower, and they've looked very, very good at times, but they've also looked at times, especially again away from home, like they've been searching for it a little bit.
They do have a lot of firepower, but still the only forward with more than 20 points is Tarasenko. So you look at – now, Steen's missed 6 games, so he'd be on pace to be just above it. But, you know, like, you've got Stastny and Steen, and, like, they got a lot of guys who people would expect that could be at least 50-point players in today's NHL, where I know it's really hard to score. So if you had to look at which of their top guys do you think are the ones who have either been snake-bitten the most or simply not producing as much as they would expect on themselves?
I think they got to get more from the center position. They got to get more from Yuri Lehterä. See, Paul Stastny has been great, and I know it's easy to point at the points, but, like, you look at the game against Chicago, and even going back to last year, the playoff series against Chicago, he's charged a lot with playing against the other team's top forwards. He takes a lot of draws against the Jonathan Taves of the world, and, you know, I'm just not sure if he's a 50-point scorer in this system. It would be great if he was. Yuri Lehterä, I think they need more from he's looked great at times, and in the past it was a very dynamic line when he was paired with Vladimir Tarasenko and Jaden Schwartz. They need more, though, from him, more from that position. And Patrick Berglund, who we started to see break out a little bit. He had an empty net goal in the Blues win last Thursday here at Scott Trade against New Jersey, and had a couple of goals, including the first two for the Blues on Saturday against Chicago. So, you know, he's a guy who before last season had surgery and kind of was working to get back to 100%. And we've seen him, again, be a difference maker at times. I wonder now, especially playing with David Perron, he's played with Alexander Steen, how his game might change a little bit if the scoring will start to come, because certainly when he's getting on the board, it's kind of a trickle-down effect, because then that's all of a sudden maybe a third line that's generating some offense. The fourth line, kind of ironically, has been really, really good, and they've generated a lot of offense. So if Laterra and Berglund can get going, I think that might kind of be the key to those couple of lines and maybe some more consistent offense.
Chris Raby joins us from St. Louis. Oilers taking on the Blues tonight. Oiler fans, of course, looking at Nail Yakupov a little bit, because if he gets 15 goals, then they get a second-round pick instead of a third. But he's got 3 goals in 20 games. He got off to a really good start. I think he had 4 points in his first 6 games for the Blues. Then he had an extended stint in the press box. And Ken Hitchcock's been saying all the right things, that he likes Yakupov's attitude and everything. But then when you look at minutes played, it's not correlating to a guy that the coach is making progress. Has he made progress in his play away from the puck?
I think he has, and you guys know. I mean, he's a dynamic skater. I've been impressed at times with him in the offensive zone, getting on the forecheck, getting onto pucks. But, you know, you got to see it in games, and you got to see it throughout games. You have to see it late in games, when the game is tight, when the game is on the line. And it's hard to battle your way into this lineup. Like I said, the fourth line of Brodziak, Upshaw, and Reeves has been playing really, really well. And Dmitry Ashkin, before he got sick a week or two ago and kind of had his energy zapped, he was playing really, really well as well. So, you know, it's kind of a numbers game, and who comes out of the lineup. I think he's been great at times, and like you said, they've said all the right things about his attitude and working hard in practice, but you got to prove it when you get the opportunity. He's gotten a couple of opportunities. He'll get another one tonight. Can he put together a full couple of games and kind of force the coach's hands to keep himself in the lineup? You know, the Blues have also been very adamant that if a guy gets hurt or, I guess, sick in Yashkin's case, like Carl Gunnarsson, he's not going to lose his spot due to injury or due to illness. So a back-to-back tomorrow, there will be a decision to be made. And you guys know it as well as anyone that he certainly seems to have all the potential in the world. It's just a matter of doing it in the game, doing it away from the puck, doing it when a game is tight down the line and making smart plays, you know, not putting the game in jeopardy. And, you know, if he continues to do that, and if he shows the coaching staff that he can do that and he can be trusted in serious minutes, then I'm sure we'll see more of him.
Chris, one last one. Kevin Shattenkirk, potential UFA. What do you – obviously they got to re-sign Parayko as well, but what do you make of him? Do you think there's a chance Shattenkirk comes back to St. Louis, or do you think it's a foregone conclusion he tests free agency?
I don't – you know, it almost seemed like with some of the national storylines it was a foregone conclusion he was going to be traded to the deadline. But I didn't believe then, and I don't believe now, that Doug Armstrong is going to trade him for 75 cents on the dollar. This is a Blues team that, you know, was in the Western Conference Final last year, and he's a big part of that. You know, the skill set that he brings, kind of the quarterbacking of the power play, the offense that he brings. It's not something you can, you know, find growing on trees. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he reaches free agency. A lot of interesting wrinkles with the expansion draft. Maybe a big contract is moved there. Maybe the Vladimir Svoboda situation and his money becomes a little more crystallized. But, you know, I think the Blues are a better team with Kevin Shattenkirk than without. Not that I'm reinventing the wheel there, but, you know, he's a dynamic player who is a big part of this team, a huge part of their success on the power play. And, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to work out an extension. If I'm Shattenkirk, I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to reach free agency. But to say it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone, I think that's maybe a little strong, because I think a lot of people expected him to be gone over the summer, and he's still here and obviously playing very, very well. He certainly earned himself some money, and I know there are a lot in St. Louis that hopes that he is re-signed and brought back.
Well, I definitely think it would be foolish to trade him at the deadline. I'm agreeing with you there wholeheartedly. And
yeah, like unless you're going to get better, and yeah. Right now, I don't know what kind of player you're going to get to make you better this year, you know, because that would be a tough ask for a team to give a guy of that caliber up unless they absolutely knew for certain he was going to resign.
Well, and yeah, there's never any certainty, right? And I'm sure the better the season he has, the more money he can make in the offseason.
Yeah.
Defenseman like that who can move the puck and play decent defensively and put up as many points as Shattenkirk does, yeah, he'll definitely get, I would think, a pretty good paycheck in the offseason. We appreciate your time, Chris. Enjoy the game tonight. And I hear it's a little chilly in St. Louis, so bundle up.
Yeah, I'm sure your boys feel right at home. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, you never know. That might be the